goodness. That last belch was so low, it rattled my balls.
Yeah, lovely.
My balls were rattling, Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for the morning disaster! Starring Ray Lido and Nikki! Here's your host with the most, Ray Lido!
Thank you, Victor, for that fine introduction. Sorry about your balls. Fine introduction. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
How are you?
Not good.
What's wrong, Nikki?
It's morning already.
Is your COPD acting up again? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's the same. It's just getting worse.
You with the copta.
What?
Copta. COPD copta. Copta, copta. I'm trying to pronounce it.
Copt.
It's coped.
Coped.
It's copta.
Coped. It's
copta. Copta. Because it was Nikki. She had copta. It hurt so bad she started to lose hope. Nikki's not losing hope.
Nikki's losing hope.
She banged a guy named Rico. He was.
Yeah, I did.
He was a dancer.
He was. one too.
A hopeless, a dancy, romantic. Oh boy. Oh man. Drinking a nice warm coffee. My wife left for me. My wife is so hot for me, you know.
She really,
I could tell she's still hot for me.
Yeah.
Even as I continue to grow fatter by the second.
Stop it then.
She still left. I have no willpower. She still left me nice. It's a hot cup of Java, man. That's what I got, some hot Java. There used to be this show on when I was in Youngstown.
Mm-hmm.
There was a show. I don't know why I'm thinking about this. This is like 1989, 1990. And I was a kid. I mean, I was just a kid, you know, doing my first show, you know. That was Texas when I was 89, 90. No, this was 88. 87, 88, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't even old enough to drink when I got this job, but I was a morning guy in one of the, you know, it was a pretty big city.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Nikki, I don't know if you heard that one. That was disgusting.
Yeah, everybody heard that one, right?
Oh, man. It's coffee.
Good Lord.
And this guy that was on in Youngstown, he was this older guy who, I mean, this guy was smoking and drinking, like, when he'd be doing his morning show, you know. And this guy had to be, you know, 70 if he was a day, you know. And he would do this show that was on against us. And his show was like my show had started, like, I want to say I started, like, 5:30 or 6, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's show would start at, like, 5, all right?
Yeah.
Which, that's Eastern time zone, starting at 5 o'clock.
That's
oh my.
Like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that, from here, you know, it's crazy what time this guy. It was nuts. This guy was, I mean, God knows what time he had to wake up, but he was starting literally at 4 o'clock our time in the morning. And so this guy would wake up. And he would be starting a show by going, "Oh my god, oh my god, hold on a second, I gotta take a drag." Good morning, Youngstown. And this guy would, I swear to God, Lam and I we were kids, you know, when I first brought, I was doing it by myself, then I brought him in.
Yeah.
To work with me. And we would sit in, we would turn the guy's show on, like, in near, in the hallway, or near our, near where we prepared the show, you know, to listen. And it would be crazy, this guy. It'd be like, good morning, Youngstown, Warren. Or whatever. Like, he would get, like, I don't know anybody who was in Warren. Warren was, like, the city near Youngstown, you know.
Yeah.
And the guy would start the show, good morning, Youngstown, Warren. Hold on, I gotta take a drag. I gotta take a drag. This is all in the microphone. The guy would go, right. Oh, a lot of news to talk about today. The Olympics are going on. Hold on, I gotta get a sip of my Joe. Good morning, everybody. And this guy, I mean,
he could have done that before he got on.
Yeah, exactly. I think he was doing it for effect.
Right.
It's like, I want everybody to know I'm really smoking and drinking.
Right.
I think the guy died of like a massive heart attack, you know.
Probably.
Because
if he was 70, he lived a long life doing what he wanted.
Right. Well, he's smoking and drinking out of here. So, like, We would like sit there and go, you know, we should have alcohol, all right? And truly, and we should truly, like, drink ourselves every time this guy talks about drinking or smoking. Because that was like the whole beginning of his show.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Hold on, I gotta get a sip of my Joe. And he'd say Joe or Java. And he always had to take a drag. Hold on, I got to take a drag. So I never, you know, I mean, I don't think I was there long enough to, you know, make any impact on anyone living in Youngstown. But I do know that this guy had some time there, and we never got a chance to see him. But I'm like, I got to, you know, I'm like, son of a bitch, I got to meet this guy, you know. I love to meet this guy. Never got a chance to meet him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm like, I got to see what this guy's doing. Because number one, this is 1988, you know, whatever year it was. And I was always asking myself, I'm like, who the hell's letting people smoke in the studio in 1988? Because I'm serious, as long as I've been in professional radio, you just were not allowed to smoke in the studio, you know? I remember when I first, you know, went from, and when I was in college, you certainly couldn't smoke in there. But when I went from college to pro, you know, I wasn't a big smoker.
Right.
But I'm not going to lie. I mean, if I was doing overnights and I was really tired, which was quite often, to be honest, you know.
Right.
At one point when I first started my professional radio life, okay? I think I told you this story. Here was my day. All right? My day would start at like a driving from Godfrey, where I went to college, all the way up to Jacksonville or Springfield when they moved the station. But I drive to Jacksonville and I do overnights on YMG. Okay. And then I get done with the show on YMG, and then I'd prepare the morning show that was coming on after me. You know what I mean? I'd write some bits for them and record some stuff. You know what I mean? Just sort of help them out.
Right.
And then I'd finally leave about 7 o'clock or so I could make it. And I had permission to be a few minutes late, but so I could make it to my morning class, which was like at 8:30 in Alton. Okay. So I'd work until like 7 o'clock or so, then I'd head down for my 8:30, and I can't remember what the class was. It was something horrible. Ugh.
Yeah.
And I'd make it down to school, and then I would do that class, and that class would be, that was a couple days a week, that class, because I remember that being like, that was like till 10 o'clock or something. That class was the same hours as this show, 2 days a week. And then I get done at 10 something, or, you know, whatever time that would finish. And then I would grab something to eat, right? And then I would have my radio news class at 1, all right? Was it 1? Somewhere around there, you know. So I'd have time to eat, catch up on some stuff, and then I'd have to... and then Monday, Wednesday, and Friday I had different classes, but they were later, you know.
Right.
I think I might have had a 10 o'clock class on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But I had an 8 o'clock class on... or 8:30 class on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I don't know why I'm remembering this, but this is how it worked. So I'm trying to explain my day. So I would eat lunch in the cafeteria of the college, right?
Yeah.
Or if I got a better option, you know, which sometimes I would get a better option, you know, like banging a chance to bang somebody in the bathroom or something, you know, you always take that over lunch. Because let's face it, you know, I'm a young guy, I was like 17, 18, you know, 19 when I'm doing this stuff. So I do that, get done with lunch, and then I'd have to do my show on the college radio station. And I would do the afternoon show, all right? I had done mornings on the radio station at another time, but this, you know, but once I started working pro, I had to move to afternoons. So I would do a live show on the college radio station in the afternoon. And that would be from... I want to say I did 3 to 6, maybe. So I do the 3 to 6 show. And then I was dating a girl at the time.
Nobody had time for that.
Oh, I had time. Oh, I'll explain. Like, when I got done with my show, I had to go work in the information desk. All right? They paid me to work in the information desk where I had to... you know, I was supposed to sit in this information desk and just answer questions when people came in and wanted, you know, an answer. And
right.
I would go in there.
Information desk.
And I'd sit in the information desk, but I'd turn off all the lights. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I would turn all the lights off, and I would just sleep in the information office. And people would knock, you know, and eat information. Mm-hmm. And I'd go, information desk is closed. I'm on break. I would scream it to people. Or else I'd put... So eventually I learned to take this sign that said back in 10 minutes, you know. And I put it on the door and I would sleep in there, right? And I did that for a while. And then I'm like, you know, and I'd be sleeping. So I'd hear when people knock and it would be, you know, like there'd be several days before anybody would want anything.
You know?
Or it was like, okay, they're probably too nice to go ahead and knock, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I was young and I'm like, oh, nobody ever goes here. So I basically just stuck a sign. Like I'd go there and I'd stick a sign up on the door and then I'd leave and I'd go over to my girlfriend's house and, I would go there and, take a shower, you know, cause I hadn't taken a shower in a while, you know? So I would take the shower and get myself all cleaned up. Right. And then, I would bang my girlfriend, all right?
Yeah.
And then I would do that until, I don't know, I do that till like 7 o'clock or whatever. So I had already gotten done with my radio show. I had gone to the information desk, put the be back in 10, 15 minutes sign up. Then I'd drive over to her house. I would shower, have sex with the girlfriend, and then I'd fall asleep at her house.
Yeah.
Like in her bedroom, and she would wake me up around, you know, 10 o'clock or so and say, hey, you got to go to work. And I'd wake up and I'd drive all the way to Jacksonville at the time and go to work and start the day all over again. Yeah. And I did that.
I thought my 4 hours of sleep when I was an intern was bad.
Yeah. See, you. I was super young though, and I just don't remember.
Yeah, I can't do that now. I could do it back then.
Yeah. And I was up to no good. I really was. I was a horrible person.
I wasn't.
Well, you were nice and sweet, and you know, yeah, I remember you being a really good intern. Not me, horrible. I mean, I was a bad boyfriend. Oh my God, Nikki, there was a time where
were a bad boyfriend.
I had the girlfriend, you know, at college, right? And then she introduced me. She was like, "Oh my God, you're so tired." She goes, "I went to high school with these girls."
Oh, no.
And she goes, and she says, maybe if you're tired, they'll let you crash at their at their place because they were going to college. They had dorm rooms. And by the way, super nice girls, you know, really just cool. I liked them. And then they introduced me to some friends, you know, of theirs at the college in Jacksonville, you know, because Jacksonville had all those colleges. And then I met these girls were going to McMurray College. And then I met.
That's where I went.
And they introduced me to these girls or these people that went to Illinois College.
Right.
So I had a whole system going on, you know, on the weekends. God, I was such a horrible person. I would hook up. I mean, I would hook up with these people, go to party at Illinois College. Or I'd go to McMurray. And then one of the girls that went to high school with my girlfriend, she was awesome. You know what I mean? Just a really, really awesome girl, you know. And, you know, I was fooling around. I was a horrible person. Truly terrible individual.
I think we all were at that age.
Oh, shame. The shame. 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 The shame I feel now. What is that? I need my Game of Thrones sounder. Shame. Shame. So I would, you know, but I got away with it. I was a kid, and so I would have time to sleep. And, you know, you had to sleep in like two-hour increments.
Right.
But
you're up and ready to go.
I was wasting time. I don't know what's wrong with me because I was young and I don't know. My hormones were so out of control. I guess I thought somehow that, oh, I better get laid now or I'm never, ever going to have sex again. You know what I mean? It was like that. It's like I got 2 hours for me to get my only sleep in the next 24 hours. And I go wasted going to a dorm room and hooking up with some, you know, with some college girl.
Right.
And then the girl wouldn't wake me up. And it wasn't back in the day where you could just set your phone. There was no such thing as phones, you know. This is the late 80s. And I was always late. Oh, my God. It was horrible. And I don't know why I did that to myself. You know?
Because you got to learn the hard way.
Because I would go and then I would... It was just horrible decisions. It was really bad. It was, when I look back at it, it was really, truly bad decision making. It's a miracle. It truly is a miracle that I ended up, you know, making it in the radio business because I never slept. And so when I finally, you know, that was the schedule I was working. Now, sometimes, you know, when school finally ended for the semester, all right. I was very sad because the girls that were going to McMurray and Illinois College,
well, they're going home.
Yeah, they were done. They were leaving, and I was like, oh no! But yet, I was happy as hell because this meant I was actually going to get full night's sleep. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would sleep every day from at a reasonable time, and it got a lot better then. Although it made the sure thing was, you know, by the way, I just want to say I would never have cheated had my girlfriend lived in the Jacksonville Springfield area. It's just, she was down in, you know, Godfrey.
Yeah.
And I was, like I said, I was a kid. I was just, you know, and I'm Latin, you know, I'm a Latino man. I have a fire inside me, Nikki, and that fire needs it needs to be put out.
Yeah.
I have a fire. My loins are on fire. They need to be, they must be, I have I have a thirst that must be quenched. Even now, I try to convince my wife and try to convince her. I'm like, listen, I'm a man with needs.
Yeah.
And, I have a fire inside me that must be extinguished from time to time. She doesn't care. She doesn't care, you know.
Not her problem. Yeah. That's not for you to take care of.
She needs to sleep. Even now, I still have that problem. I still have
that
problem.
That woman needs sleep.
Yeah, I know. She goes to, and you know what? She never gets. She goes to bed way too late. But we could, I'm like, you know, we could do this. And I'm always acting like I care about her well being. And I'm saying, honey, you need to get in that tub at like 9:30. You know. You need to get in the bathtub.
For
like,
your well-being.
Yeah, like 9:30 because, and you know, the real reason is because I'm just so damn horny that if she's cleaned and ready for bed at like 10, then I can actually get like some quality sex during the week, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This weekday lack of sex is just making me crazy. You know, I got to sneak this time together in, and I don't have any time to show my moves, you know.
Right.
Man like me, you know, I got to warm him up with some talk. You know, I got to get her warmed up. This quickie stuff doesn't work. I got to, you know, I got to remind her of my abilities by every time, you know, from time to time by showing what I can do. You know what I mean? That's how it works for me. So anyway, I'm trying to get her. And I know she's like, oh, he's just sweet and he wants me to get more sleep. And that's true. But also, I would like to, you know.
Yeah. And I would think she would have caught on by now.
And I get so mad because, okay, my daughter, it's me, my daughter, and my wife. That's who lives in the house.
And you're outnumbered.
So, yeah, absolutely. And we eat dinner way too freaking late every night, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I know
half the people listening are going, why don't you just get your fat ass up off the couch, and if you make dinner, then you're... Blah, 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 blah. Okay, listen, it doesn't work that way in my house. My wife... He would get angry at me. All right? I'm just telling you. She would, you know. Now, if my daughter would do something and help, I bet my wife would enjoy the two of us working together and doing it. But that's not going to happen. So even when we do, so usually we're eating too late. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We will, we will end up eating way too, we eat dinner too late. Which is probably why I'm so obese. Well, that night I have no control. I can't say no to any food. And then, so by the time, then she's like, oh, I got to clean up and I got to do the dishes. And I don't understand how my daughter can't do freaking dishes.
Right.
14 years old, I was doing dishes at like 10.
Right.
I'm such a great parent.
And then she grows up and she doesn't do her own dishes and
her house is going to be a cockroach filled dump because we don't hold her head to the fire. What's the saying? I don't know what that is, but we don't force her to
grindstone or something.
To do her own dishes. So anyway, rather than do the dishes and help my wife by doing that, by doing more work, it doesn't work.
I want to tell you something. My parents never made me do dishes.
Yeah.
I finally took 43 years to get my house clean. And my dishes aren't done.
Right? I'm afraid my daughter's going to live in filth. Because we're not teaching her good habits.
Right.
But my kid is very, you know, I don't see
her. And if
somebody
comes to my house, I try and talk them into doing my dishes.
Yeah. I tell you what. I can honestly see my daughter moving out of the house and getting her own place.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife saying, oh, hold on, I got to go somewhere. And then, like, mysteriously go somewhere to the store or something. And actually going over to my daughter's house and doing her dishes. I can actually see that happening.
It'll happen.
So what happens is, I'm like, if we eat early, I get all excited. I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be great. We've eaten early. Okay, so this means she can get in there and get a bath early. Like, oh my God, we can actually have quality weekday sex. It's a miracle, you know. And I get all excited. And then, you know, I'll be like, oh, let's do this. Hey, can I do this? And whatever it is, I'm trying to get, you know, everything done. So it's like 9:30 and I'm like, okay, really need her to get in the bath. Because most of the time, she doesn't even get in the bath till like 11:30.
Right.
Which means I'm not going to get anything. It's after midnight by the time I get anything. She's not going to deal with that. Which, you know, makes me angry, and it's a whole thing, you know. It all catches up and blah, blah, blah. But so it's one of these days where we eat early. The dishes get done. Everything gets picked up. The dishes get done. Or we get, like, pizza or whatever it is. You get something that's not going to cause a lot of trouble.
Right.
And so everything's done. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Here we go. Now we're looking good. And then my wife will want to watch something on television. So I intentionally pick something short, you know, like a half hour show or whatever. And we watch it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, maybe you can get your bath early. She'll be like, oh, yeah, okay. And meanwhile, during all this, because it's like a half hour sitcom or something, my daughter's like, oh, I'm out of here. You know, and she'll like supposedly walk down to her room, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 9:30 rolls around. I'm like, yeah, maybe she's going to be. She goes, my wife goes, yeah, maybe I'll get an early bath. And she goes to her bathroom. You know what I mean? To take a shower, take a bath. And she'll go, oh, Bella's taking a bath. And I'll be like, what? I go, are you freaking kidding me? I go, why is she taking a bath? Now, by the way, I want to point out, by this point, she has already taken baths, all right? She has already taken baths. Like, during the day, she's already taken a bath.
Right.
She doesn't wake. She wakes up at 1 in the afternoon. You know what I mean? Noon. So it's not like she needs to wake up early the next day. There's no reason.
She hasn't done anything.
Yeah, there's no reason she can't wait till like midnight to take a bath. Okay, but no.
Right.
She'll go in at 9, right when I want my wife to go into bed. She'll go in at like 9:30, right when my wife should be getting. My wife will go, oh, well, Bella's taking a bath. So then she'll come out and she'll be like, you know what? This will give me a chance to start a load of or she'll want to start like something else. Okay.
Right.
And I'm like, no. And I swear I want to find my kid. I just want to strangle my kid. I'm like, you don't take a bath at 9:30.
Right.
If you want to take a bath at 7. You know? God knows you're not doing the dishes. Why don't you take a bath at 8?
Let's take the dishes in with you.
Yeah, wash those damn things. Put the dirty dishes in the water as much as she's in the water. She's like freaking Aquaman as much as she's in the water. Can't believe her skin's not a prune. So it never fails. Here's my opportunity. I'm like, oh, here we go. Now we're talking. And lo and behold, boom, no bath. Oh. All right, Nikki, I want to take a second. We have a guest. Is Laura on the phone? Hey, Laura.
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm great. You're a hard act to follow, though, right?
Well, there's nothing quite like a story of me complaining how I'm not getting enough action at home. Oh, it's just horrible what's going on. But anyway, listen, we want to talk to Laura about Witches Night Out. All right. Witches Night Out today is August. What is the date today? August 9th. So Witches Night Out is something to me that's coming up at some point here in the next couple months. First off, tell us what Witches Night Out is.
Absolutely, it is. It's coming up on October 27th, which is a Thursday evening.
Right, right
first
before
time
Halloween.
To
we like that.
Springfield.
Well, You said first time here? Okay.
First time here. And we're talking about it now because we want to get all the ladies in the Springfield area excited and start planning their witch outfits. What it is, Ray, it's a charity fundraiser, a party, a costume party for women in need by women. And we're modeled after an event that's been held in Joliet for the last 6 years. We're bringing it into Springfield because it's just a great time. It's a lot of fun. You know, for me personally, it's Halloween, it's witches, it's women empowerment. You know, it's us helping and doing something for the community. So that's in a nutshell what it's all about.
Where is it? It's one big event?
Yes.
And where is it going to take? Where is it taking place at?
It's going to be at the Expo Building at the Illinois State Fair. It's an evening event during the week, so it's after hours. We chose that time because it gives women an opportunity, if they have children, you know, to get a sitter or leave the kids home with dad, get their girlfriends together either from work or their, you know, their social friends, whatever their circle of women are, dress up, come out, and just have a great time.
And this is, and it's mostly women that do this?
It's women that attend it. Now, the only men that will be there will be vendors or men working, you know, actually working the event. But it is a party for women. It's a girls' night out is what it is. So that's why it's Witches Night Out. It's a girls' night out.
There'll be some Uber drivers. Go ahead. There'll be some Uber drivers driving around there.
So, yeah, we'll have Uber drivers. Yes, absolutely. We'll have them there. And the four charities that we're helping this year is Mercy Communities, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, Foundation for the Land of Lincoln, and then the Prairie Center Against Sexual Assault. So
that's awesome.
Four, you know, wonderful organizations. Proceeds will go to them. And just to let you know what goes on, first of all, we want everybody dressed as witches. It's not mandatory, but, you know, it's kind of like showing up to a party and you're the only one that's not dressed up. So we encourage women to dress up. We have a Witches Bazaar, which is a vendor area for shopping, and everything there. I mean, we've got everything from True Romance, which maybe your wife would be interested in.
What is True Romance? True Romance? What's True Romance? You know,
actually, it's Pure Romance. I'm sorry, Pure Romance. Pure Romance, it's accessories for the bath and bedroom. So,
oh, oils, bedroom lotion. Accessories. Yeah. Nikki, you know about those. Nikki, you know about that.
Yes, I do.
You don't have to.
I have heard of them before.
You don't have to make your homemade stuff. You can buy it from.
I have before.
you bought from Tree Romance.
Yes, I have.
Oh,
pure romance.
Pure romance. Mm-hmm. That's very nice. Okay, and they have
romance, and it,
they have every. They have everything.
Yeah, from what I understand, like I said, your wife will have to come and check it out. But we also have self-defense groups that will be there to teach women self-defense. We've got clothing items, services. I mean, just, everything that would be of interest to women. It's a shopping area. Then in addition to that, we'll have psychic readers there. So, that's always a lot of fun.
All right.
Entertainment, very excited, entertainment by the Suburban Mystics. And then the Girlathon Band, and I know you're familiar with those. Ladies.
I do know the Girlathon Band. Yeah, they're great. They're great.
They're fabulous, and those bands are donating their time to play. And, of course, we have a contest. We'll have a contest for the best-dressed witch in the hat and cackling. And then a great bar. We've got this fabulous bar. We're going to have specialty drinks for, with a theme for Witch's Night Out. It is 21 and over, but it's a lot of fun. And like I said, we're talking about it now. We've got vendor space and sponsorship and stuff available, and we want the women to go ahead, secure their tickets, and start planning with their girlfriends. So it's a lot of fun.
That sounds like it could be a really good time and well needed.
Yeah,
I think well needed for some women.
It is, and we'll have the women will be everything from the Wicked Witches of the East to the good witches and all the wicked things. So, we use that theme basically because that is representative women. It is Halloween. It is a costume party. But really, the focus of all of this is to really do something for the community, give back to other women, and have fun and just have fun bonding and dancing and having some drinks and just having a good time while doing something good.
How successful has this thing been in Joliet?
Hugely successful. That's why we're bringing it here. It's hugely successful. Like I said, they're in their seventh year this year. They are at capacity at their event. They're sold out. They have 1,300 women that attend. They can't take any more. They can't. The vendor space is sold out. So they're actually looking at moving the facility into a bigger area to be able to service the women in Joliet. So
it's that big. Wow, that's awesome. That's fantastic. And we're
sounds
hoping.
Like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and this will be first year here.
First year here, very first year. Like I said, it's October 27th during the week, so it doesn't conflict with any of the Halloween parties or the kids trick-or-treating or anything like that. So, yeah, first time here, and we're just excited, and we're glad, Ray, that you guys are talking about it, and we encourage people.
Talking about it? I'm thinking of finding a witch-colored moo-moo and sneaking out there. Are you kidding? It's going to be a good time.
we have had men talk about that, and the event's put on by a group called Events for a Cause, which is a charity organization to help other charities put on events like this. And we talked about men wanting to come in, and I said, if someone dresses like a witch, I'm not doing a door check on them. So
you're going to be like you'll be like North Carolina checking people going into the bathroom.
Exactly.
No, I mean I don't know what guy would want. I would take it as
that's ruined the girl's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I would take it as I'm going to tell you this is in all seriousness. If you're married and you get your wife out of the house and go to this witches thing, okay, and they go out there with all their friends, and they're having a few here, and and you're the husband that says, "Honey, go have fun with your friends," and blah blah blah. And then you're like, why don't you call me at the end of the night and I will go pick you up, so you can have a few drinks, And if you're that husband, if you drop her off and pick her up and she's dressed, especially, not all witches are sexy, but I'll tell you, some of these witch outfits, they ain't bad. And you're that husband that goes and picks up your wife, brings her home. I can almost guarantee
you'll be very happy.
Yeah, you're going to get to be a good time when they get home. I'm serious. There's advantages for the guys When if you let your, if your wife goes, what? If you encourage, if you encourage your wife to go to this event, they have a good time. Who knows? They might come home and, you know, make a little time for you. There you go. I'm trying to figure out an angle for this. So that's a...
Send her shopping, you know, Pure Romance and all the different oils and the clothing shops, and there you go. So, but I agree, and be the designated driver. I think that's a fabulous idea.
Yeah, because then you're going above and beyond, you know.
Exactly.
And then when your wife finally, when your wife starts getting amorous, you act surprised and go, "Oh, I certainly, oh honey, I certainly didn't drive you there and pick you up for this. I didn't expect anything from it, but if you're willing to do this, it's wonderful, you know." That's how you do
Nikki.
It.
Yeah. Hey, Nikki, isn't it interesting how this conversation turned back to Ray again?
Absolutely. I gotta work an angle. I mean, there's got to be an angle to get something out of this, you know.
Oh.
And you'd be like, I know you're dressed like a witch. You know, a lot of witches, they do it twice. A lot of witches, they're willing to, they're very adventurous. So I'm saying, guys, guys, and tell your, if you're listening and your wife is, tell your wives about this, and let them know about Witches Night Out, October 27th. It's during the week. You said it's during the week. What day is that?
It's Thursday. Thursday night.
Okay, so you go out to a Thursday night at the Expo Building. Hey, Laura, do they buy tickets in advance?
Yes, tickets are available. They're only $20, and you get door prize, you get shopping bags, you get all these activities going on. Our website is witchesnightout.org. Also look for us on Facebook, Witches Night Out Springfield. You can also see our sister, Juliet. They have their event the week before ours. But yeah, go on. You can get your tickets now. If you've got a product or service for women, we've got an area up there to find out about the vendors available. And, you know, just a lot of fun. So, again, I'm going to give a shout-out to everybody that's supporting us, the bands that are supporting us. And we got a fat – I tell you what, our committee that's planning this, they're fabulous. And they've got such great ideas. I mean, it's going to be unlike anything else that we've had in the Springfield area. And I just foresee it, you know, being so successful and growing, helping charities. And it's just a lot of fun. So, Nikki, you get your girlfriends together and come out there.
Definitely. Sounds like a lot of fun.
WitchesNightOut.org. That's WitchesNightOut.org. Get details.
Yes.
This is, and let's make this successful so it becomes a yearly thing, you know.
That'd
be great. And Laura, listen, Laura, I thank you so much. You've been doing, hey, you know what I read? Are you still doing these conventions everywhere?
You know what? I'm actually switching. I was doing the Walker Stalker and Heroes and Villains convention. I'm switching to a different convention, and it's a retro convention. So it's based on bands and programming and TV shows from the 80s and 90s. So
really?
I kind of joke. So I'm going from zombies to boy bands. I think it's about the same difference.
But yeah, I mean, I you know, we're friends on Facebook, and I always am like, I always see you, you know, like you're with people from the Walking Dead, and and then the whole, I mean, the Heroes thing is, you know, it's like people cosplay and stuff like that. So now you're doing, when are you going to start doing the retro TV show stuff or the retro stuff?
Actually, that's going to start in November. It's November 11th through 13th up in the Chicago area. So brand new event going on. I'm helping them, and it'll be a lot of fun.
You're going to get to travel a lot?
I do. I won't be traveling as much, which is the reason I kind of made the switch, because I've got some things going on. I'm also helping Heroic Age Studios in Mount Vernon to make a movie. We're going to do a horror movie. So, you know, Ray, there's always stuff going on. But I do want to make a comment about all of this and tie it together. You know, that whole convention circuit that I work was due to my charity work with, at that time, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And that's how I got involved. They picked me up as a charity, liked what I did, and then I started helping out with the convention. But And not to get on a soapbox, but you know what? Do good things for the world, and the world does good things for
you.
And I believe that. So that's why I love this Witches Night Out, because it's right down my alley. I love Halloween. I usually a witch every Halloween. And, you know, when I was approached by Events for a Cause about this event, I'm like, it's perfect for Springfield. We got to do it. We got to help these women that need assistance, and do it by having fun and a good time and, you know, drinking mysterious drinks and dancing to great bands, and with the Girlathon band being there, and then Suburban Mystics, who's got Lori McKenzie, who leads them up. She's a breast cancer survivor. It's just, it's an amazing night. It's just a fun night, but a night of empowerment and a night of bonding and doing good things for the community. So,
there's going to be no witches. There's going to be no witches ceremonies or any worshiping the devil or anything. None of that's going to be going
no.
on.
No, oh gosh, no. And that's just it. No, it's not the occult. It's about let's have fun at a costume party, and you know that's yeah. not to say someone won't put a hex on you, Ray. I'm guessing.
A few 80-year-old women going, I don't know what's going on. They're dressing like witches and they're doing something out there. Listen, it sounds like it's going to be great. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is.
October 27th at the out at the fairgrounds and at the expo building. And you can get tickets for only $20 and witchesnightout.org. Witchesnightout.org. Laura, thank you so much. It's wonderful to talk to you. Continued to success in getting this thing planned. I hope we get, you know, sometimes people are afraid to try new things, but I hope they try this because it does sound, I think you used a great word. I think it sounds very empowering, and I think it's for a great cause, and I hope it is a success.
It will be. Thank you, Ray. Thanks, Nikki, and Nikki helped me get out there. So thanks.
Yeah. She'll be there looking for she'll be looking for pure romance samplers.
No.
You're going to watch Nikki.
Yeah. Mystery drink.
Right. All right, Laura, listen, thank you. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you, babe. Bye.
All right, there you go. That is a great Witch's Night Out coming up in October. That's Laura Richter telling us about that. That was pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah, I like that.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, you should go to that, Nikki.
I know, I should.
You know what you should do? You should whip up some of those pancake batter dildos that you make.
Oh, would you stop it?
And create a booth.
Stop it.
You could get
a Quit it.
Nikki. Stop. Dildo booth.
Enough.
Like, you know, you ever go to a baseball game? And people are hot dogs.
It's not about me.
Hot dogs, soda.
It's not about me.
Cold beer. I'm saying, you know. Be walking around saying, you know.
Don't mess with me this morning.
Homemade dildos. Only $5. Hey, you should go. That sounds like it could be a good time.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
You know. My wife once, we were doing a Halloween party. My wife and I, we never dress for Halloween, you know.
I love dressing up for Halloween.
Never do it. And when we first met, you know, like we went out, but we just dressed, you know, like we always do. And this girl, I think I told this story. It was Halloween, and I think it was Halloween. I might be confusing it with New Year's Day or something. But I remember this one girl that I went out with a couple times. She was at the club that my wife and I went to. And she was wearing a costume and just being all weird, you know.
Yeah.
Around.
I'll do that.
Yeah. And then on New Year's Eve, it got even worse. Like, we went out for New Year's and the girl was up on the balcony and trying to drop drinks on us. It was really weird. You know? Very strange.
That's beyond weird. That's psychotic.
And I don't remember. It's a really long time ago. But I'm pretty sure it happened. I'll have to ask my wife. But no, to get back to the original point of the story, one year we were here, and I told my wife, I'm like, yeah, we got to wear costumes. And so she says, okay. She goes, I'll just – so she went and she got this sexy black dress, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she had black thigh-high hose that she put on.
Yeah.
And then she she bought a witch's hat.
Mm-hmm.
And so she put the witch's hat on with the really sexy short black dress and the thigh-high hose. And so every once in a while she'd sit down. You know, my wife has to sit like a lady, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when she'd do it, the skirt would, you know, ride up as it does when you sit down. And I would see her skirt and then a little bit of just a touch of bare leg into those thigh-high hose. So you like see the line of the hose. You know, like the top of the skirt would be covering.
You need to calm yourself down this morning.
I'm gonna tell you what. I'll tell you what. It looks so damn good. I was the whole night. I'm like, look at her. Oh my god, she's so sexy with these hose on. And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, f this party. I want to go home and tear into this. Like Christmas.
Today it was food. Today it's sex.
Yeah, it was like Christmas. I'm like, I need to go home and unwrap this gift. It's like I didn't even want to be at the. I'm serious. I just did not even want to be at the party. I'm like, I just want to get this.
Right.
I want to get her home and get her out of that. She looks so hot. But I'm like, oh, but I'm going to keep those thigh highs on, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah, baby. Hold on. I'm going to take a drag. Oh, yeah. A sip of coffee.
Calm down.
Good morning, everyone. I got a big boner. Good morning. Some coffee. Yeah, but I remember oh my God, she looks so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a good time. That was a really good time. I'm going to tell you what. Yeah.
Had some good Halloween parties back in the day.
Yeah, those Halloween parties were great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and this was the party where, I think it was the party where you all, were you there for the one where we all dressed like each other?
I didn't dress like anybody else. I dressed as my own thing.
Yeah, but I made all the show members, like, we had to pick out of a hat, and you had to dress like someone else. And I got Bodine.
Yeah, I remember that.
I had to dress like Bodine. So my wife was, I think that's the same party. So my wife was all sexy, like a really sexed up witch is what, you know.
Right.
Really hot. And here I'm dressed like Bodine. I got a cigarette hanging from my mouth. You know, I had a cigarette hanging from my mouth. I had a dirty ball hat, ball cap on.
Yeah.
I had a Bodine t-shirt. At the time, we had Bodine t-shirts.
Right.
And I put a stain in the armpits. You know, it was a guy that was a great costume,
yeah.
But I looked ridiculous, and I'm like, here's my sexy wife, you know, and trying to want to get her home and get her, and I'm like, I just want to turn her on, and I realize I'm trying to turn her on and stuff, and I'm and she's like kind of going, yeah, she's just a little bit like weirded out, and then I realize, oh my God, I'm dressed like dirty armpit Bodine, no wonder she wants nothing to do with me, and that's like, and I'm like, nope. That's it. No more. No.
For you.
No more clothing for me on Halloween. I'm just gonna wear regular clothes.
Oh, it's fun though.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of it.
I love it.
Although I did once. I once wore a toga. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just basically I was wearing like boxer shorts with a sheet over me, mm-hmm. And I'll say it was very comfortable. You know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not wearing clothes was very refreshing.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, you know. It's a good time. So I did like that, you know. I enjoyed...
Our group has a Halloween party every year.
The swinger group?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I bet that's a good time.
Oh, yeah.
How do I score an invite?
Everybody's all sexy.
How do I score sexy an invite everything. To
that? Huh?
How do I score an invite to that?
You don't need an invite to that.
Oh.
You're a married man that doesn't play.
Well, how do you know? Maybe I will.
Because your wife would divorce you.
Well, she'll want to go too. She's a voyeur. She's a voyeur. She wants to watch me having fun. Don't you know?
She does not want to go.
Yeah. No, she won't go. She's into watching people. It only looks like I've given her drugs to make her pass out. Trust me, she just enjoys watching me have sex with other people. Could you imagine someone bringing their wife and their wife doesn't do anything and the husband just goes off and has his way?
Different strokes for different folks.
Do people do that?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
I am missing out.
All different kinds.
I am missing out on life. Oh my God.
You're not missing out on anything.
I told you before. I'm convinced. I am convinced if my wife went to me and said, for your 50th birthday, I will blow.
I know, but you have no willpower, remember?
Yeah, but I think I would if I had that form going for me. I really do.
No.
Nikki, I am motivated by sex. Like, the dirtier sex, the better, you know.
Oh, well, sir.
I really am. I think I really am. Because I think if my wife went to me and said, think of like the hottest person we know. Man, I don't even know if we know anybody hot. God, we used to know so many hot girls. Oh, my God. My wife had some hot friends in the past. It's like, oh, man, I can imagine bringing her home for one night. That's all, you know, that's all I can handle, some of these girls, because they're pains in the ass. But it's like, one night, oh, man, you know. But if my wife went to me and said, I found this, I got this new friend, she's super hot, and if you lose this much weight, maybe we'll invite this girl into the bedroom or something. Oh, my, I'll tell you what. The next day I'm jogging. I would be jogging.
You need to be able to do that for yourself, though.
No, I can't. I'm weak-willed. I can't do it for me, but I could do it for sex.
You could do it for your family.
I could do it for sex.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious. If my wife would only do that, I think I would lose a bunch of weight, you know. I really do. I think I could knock it out of the park.
I think if you do it, the longer you live, the more sex you can have.
And yeah, and you know what? It's like if I was really in shape, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'd last more than just a couple of minutes, too. I could really enjoy it, you know. Because that'd be my fear. Like if I had a three-way right now.
Yeah.
It would.
You're like, I'm out.
Yeah, it's like as soon as the second person involved touches my penis, it's over. It's all over. You know what I mean? Like the first, like my wife would have to go first. I mean, let's face it, your wife has, and you could correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe that's not how it goes, but I would imagine the wife gets first touching of the penis.
I would imagine so.
And then whoever, the new person that you're bringing in, they get the second touch, you know.
Or if they're
at the same time, as soon as both are near the penis at the same time, watch out. It's a mess. It's a mess. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
And it'd be all over. It would be all over. And I'm like, oh, so now what? I'd be just sitting there in shame. You know, hoping for a quick.
I knock one out before.
Well, yeah, I would be hoping for a quick turnaround so I can go again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, like, the two girls would just be, well, now what the hell are we going to do, you know?
Yeah.
And it would just be uncomfortable. Because what are you going to do, lay there and say, oh, yeah, sorry, it only took me 20 seconds to finish the act. But if you guys wait a second, hold on, just give me some time here. And the girls are going to be like, okay, we're out of the mood. It's over, you know? So, and what I'm saying is I got to get myself in shape, Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get in three-way shape. Now, there's a time in my life when I could have really been good at that. You know what I mean? Like, I could have really had some good time. Because I think you need at least a good half hour, you know, at least. You know what I mean? That's what I think. Because I got to make the most of it. Got to make the most of it. But... you know, it's, I'd have to be in shape, so. I know I'd do it if I was given the opportunity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd really go for it, but I can't now. Like, now it would be seconds. Well, now I don't, you know, I'm always surprised when I get it, you know. With my daughter taking baths when my wife's trying to get in early. Oh, nothing, I'll tell you, nothing. Nothing pissed me off at the hopelessness of my life when that happens, you know. Al is saying, he says, jogging, hell,
if I had the chance to get a three-way, you know. He's like, jogging, hell, I imagine you training like Rocky when he got his rematch with Clubber Lang. Yeah, he's right. I'd be doing those sit-ups where I'm going, you know, all the way down and up. I mean, yeah, the music would be playing in the background. I'd be a workout montage every day.
Running up the stairs of the Capitol.
If I only had the chance. Oh, my God. I blame my wife. I'd be down 200 pounds right now if I knew this was coming. If she'd have told me when I was like, you know, 47, you know.
Right.
If you got down to this by the time you're 50, for your 50th birthday, I will blow my mind. I'll blow your mind. I'd be like, oh my God, I gotta lose weight. It'd already be low.
Washington Park yesterday, eating a big old fat cheeseburger.
That's what you did?
Watching the water, and this guy pulls up in this vehicle.
Yeah.
And gets out, and he's bigger than I am, and he starts jogging.
And you're just watching it.
I felt like he starts jogging.
You're watching it while eating a giant cheeseburger.
Yes.
I am.
All he talked about yesterday was cheeseburgers.
I know. And I didn't eat much yet. You know, I didn't even eat yesterday until, what time did I finally eat? 3-something? It was about the first time I ate anything all day. I just didn't have time to eat. I go all day without eating food. And then I eat so much at night.
Right.
Oh,
see, I only eat like once, maybe twice a day, and that's what's bad for me.
Yeah, I just need to stop. I gotta start eating early, you know.
Right. I need 3 to 5 small meals a day.
If I had like 2 eggs in the morning, I should get up. I gotta stop sleeping in so late.
Right.
I gotta get my fat ass up, get on the treadmill, eat all before the show starts. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh well.
Yeah, the only motivation I had yesterday was to eat that cheeseburger and feel bad about myself because you got out and started jogging at this really slow pace. I'm like, I can walk faster than that, but at least keep jogging.
I'd have some dirty sex motivation, you know.
Yeah.
Like so many pounds for this act and
yeah,
so many pounds for that act over here. And
or she could withhold sex from you and you'd have to lose weight.
Oh, no, I'd cheat. No. I doubt I cheat because who the hell wants this? I mean, you know. my wife. I think that's why my wife. You know, my wife is never like. My wife would be like, "I'll just stay up. I'll stay up late, and we'll go at it until we get to this age now where you know you get in your 40s and she's just so tired and it's like you know I think to myself I'm like I'm gonna be insistent you know. Just be an asshole and say, hey, what about, can I please get some sex during the week? Is it such a hard thing to do? But then I think,
but then I think to myself,
I'm like, you know what? If she doesn't get sleep, she's just going to be mean the next day. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's just like so, and she does, my wife does so much for me, you know? She yeah. really does. She's a great. My wife's a great wife, but
right.
she overdoes it. She does too much. You get a perfectly healthy 14-year-old kid that can do some of this work,
right?
Have her get off her ass and do it.
Quit talking about it. Make her do it.
And then when I make her do things, you know, my wife
is a bad guy.
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't even want that tension in my life.
Right.
But if she doesn't get it, and my wife, I'm telling you, this is a problem for women all over the country. I really feel this way. They don't get enough sleep.
Yeah.
Mothers, professional women who are mothers,
mm-hmm.
Well, just professional women in general, they don't get enough sleep.
Mm-mm.
I think women need, this might be a horribly sexist thing to say, but I'm telling you, I think women need more sleep than men. And they're not getting it. And I think it is an epidemic in this country that women don't get enough sleep.
I think everybody needs sleep, but
I am fine.
Especially.
Nikki, I've realized that if I get 5 hours of sleep, score 6 hours of sleep, then I'm perfect. That's what I need. That's what I need to really feel good. If I get too much sleep on the weekends, sometimes we'll sleep until like 11. You know, it's too much sleep. I wake up, I feel like crap all day. You know,
right?
Because I got too much. But if I get, I think six and a half hours might be ideal. But as long as I get like 5 hours, I'm good to go. I went to sleep last night at like 3 o'clock.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, but I woke up at 8 o'clock today. I'm fine. I feel fantastic. And I was up and at 'em, you know?
Perfect. And I went to bed at like 1 and woke up at 7.
So you got 6 hours.
I'm dying.
You should be feeling good.
I'm dying.
Probably haven't pooped out that cheeseburger yet you were eating yesterday. You got to get rid of that. my wife will get to bed sometimes, and especially now at the Olympics, because we got to watch the Olympics, and
yeah.
She's got to do those goddamn dishes. Boy, God forbid those dishes aren't done. Jesus.
When I'm sitting overnight, getting all crusty.
My lazy kid, if she should clear the table every night. Only time she does is when her mom goes, Bella, can you please pick up the, can you, like, she'll grab some plates. Bella, can you please pick up those plates? And then it's a, you know, like, oh, mother, you're forcing me to do this horrible work. And I just want to reach out and go, when I was growing up, there wasn't even a question.
Uh-huh.
Clear that damn table. No.
And watch, your first job will be something has to do with restaurants, doing dishes.
Oh, she'd do great if it was a job, you know.
Right.
No, my daughter kicks ass at doing jobs, you know. Like she's been helping, a teacher of hers, like, the, you know, like when she was in middle school. They're getting ready for school, you know what I mean? They're getting ready to do the classes.
Yeah.
So my daughter actually helps out the, the teacher get her room ready. You know what I mean? Which is very nice. And my daughter's going over and just kicking ass. You know, really helping out the teacher, getting the classroom all ready and all this stuff. It's very cool.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And the teacher's very appreciative, but my daughter's working her butt off doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'll tell you, my daughter's very good at this. She's a really good worker, you know, very good worker. And, but you know, when it comes to, you know, doing it for home, ugh, it's the worst thing in the world, you know. It's like, oh, God. Oh, I can't believe you're making me do dishes. This is the worst thing ever. It's like, well, you literally just tore apart this classroom today and put it back together. You know. But no. Alas, Nikki.
Right.
Alas, no. Does not happen. So, yeah. It would be, it would be nice to see the kid help out at home, you know. But I have no fear that when she gets a chance to get a job and she's getting paid for it, oh, watch out, you know. I'm sure I'm not the only parent that thinks that, though, you know.
Right.
Because every parent, I'm sure, goes through the same stuff that we go through, so. You know. Oh, well. Maybe I'll have my wife. She won't want to go. She'll be too tired. But my wife should go to that witches thing. That sounds kind of cool. Actually.
Yeah.
Right? You all right? The witches' night out?
Yeah.
You should go, too.
Sounds like fun. Mm-hmm.
Put up your booth.
Put up my booth?
Yeah, sell your homemade dildos.
No, I'm not going to go sell homemade dildos.
Oh, I think there's some money to be made.
Yeah, no.
I think there's some money to be made. Because I think it would be soft, yet at the same time firm enough to get the job done, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be a good time.
Your homemade, the homemade ones.
No.
Oh, let's see. What there are some things that I want to talk about today. But I got all, you know, of course.
Sidetracked on sex.
Yeah, I got totally. I did. I got totally sidetracked with this other nonsense. Like all the things. All the things I want to talk about. I didn't get to any of them. Hey, did you watch the Olympics last night?
Some of it. I watched the volleyball and I watched some swimming.
Did you watch the girl that said she was going to kick that Russian girl's ass?
No.
Oh, yeah. Like this Russian girl who was caught for doping, okay? She was, uh-huh. And then she appealed. And through, like, the appeal process, she ended up being able to swim. Uh-huh. And this one girl, this American girl, I want to say her name is it Lisa King? Or
maybe.
Her last name's King, all right? And I cannot remember her first name.
Lillian? Lily?
Maybe it was Lily King? I don't know. Something King, all right?
Mm-hmm.
She was watching the girl. Lily King. Thank you. Lily mm-hmm. King is the girl, and this Russian girl runs her heat of the semis and puts her finger up and does the whole, you know. I don't know if the girl was saying I'm number one or if she's going no, nobody gonna beat, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
This American girl, this little badass girl, you know, she's like 19. Mm-hmm. She's 19, and you know she'll get arrested at some point in her life. She's a Midwestern girl, big old Midwestern hips, you know, just ready to kick some ass. The kind of girl you like to sneak away with at a party in high school, you know, like.
Okay, go back to your story.
Well, you know what I mean? Like oh, you know, she's just dirty, you know. And she's not going to tell anybody. You know
You're
what I
an
mean?
Old man talking about a 19-year-old. Now, go on.
No, at the time, I was 19. I'm fantasizing about when I was her age. I certainly wouldn't be doing her now. I mean, good Lord, she'd see me now and run away.
Well, let's make that clear.
But not, sort of like a butterface.
Uh-huh.
But she's got a swimmer's body and mm-hmm. an attitude that says, like, she went back to the camera where that Russian girl was doing it, and she stuck her finger out and went, you know, like, this look like I'm just going to mm-hmm. kick your ass. So she goes into the finals last night, and she kicks that Russian girl's ass.
Good.
And then, you know, basically says, yeah. And let me play, here's a clip of her winning.
Here comes Yefimova up on King's shoulder. Yefimova with 5 meters left trying to catch King. Right now, Lily King has the lead, and she's going to win. She did it! And Katie Martin gets the bronze.
And then this really attractive girl from Texas, Katie Melly, won the bronze. Oh, my God. Or Melly, I don't know how you pronounce it. She was hot. But the girl that won it is just, like I said, she's a butterface, but a really good athlete and just a badass, you know. So, you know, like you'd sneak away and get into a closet with her, and, you know.
Oh, right.
While her real religious boyfriend is, you know, I'm going to go. There's just a bunch of beer here. I'm going to go run down to the store and get some soda because I can't drink all this beer. Jesus doesn't want us drinking it. And so when he leaves, you take her and you sneak into the closet with her. She just does unspeakable dirty things to you. And then she gets out and straightens her clothes before the boyfriend. You know, that's the kind of girl she is. That's the kind of girl I like right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like. give me that butterface doing the dirty stuff in the closet. No, she's that. But I mean, this girl she's just a badass. So after the race, and by the way, she's a very sweet girl. I would never bang this girl in a closet. But this is what she says after she wins.
Yeah, I hope I did that. You know, we can still compete clean and do well at the Olympic Games, and that's how it should be.
Yeah, like basically saying, you know, don't cheat. Because the Russian girl tested twice. The Russian girl twice got busted for taking drugs, you know.
Right.
Like steroids and stuff. Cheater. That Russian girl was hot. I'll tell you what, that Russian girl was hot. She was really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Ryan Murphy won the gold for America last night for the men in the back.
There are four or five, maybe six swimmers still with a chance.
Boy, they are so bunched up together. Murphy's starting to take a little bit of an advantage, though.
Ryan Murphy just edging ahead of Plummer below. Could they go one, two again? Murphy stretching to the line for the gold. Gets it. Plummer gets the bronze.
My daughter was... last night I kept impersonating Rowdy Gaines,
mm-hmm.
who participated in the Olympics in like 19... When did he... He participated in the Olympics in like 1984 or something, you know.
Right.
And he's the... He talks like this, and he is the color commentator for the swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I point out that he just keeps... he just overdoes it, you know. And so I keep impersonating him. My daughter's like, "Will you stop?" But this—I mean, this is what he sounds like. Okay, like the guy will see, be the main guy, Dan. What's his name? I can't remember the guy's full name. You know, or Jim or Dan, whatever. I cannot remember the guy's name who's doing play-by-play of the swimming. But he's a uh-huh. he's a. He's a pretty famous sportscaster. And so he calls the swimming thing, right? He calls it, and then, like, Rowdy Gaines will then comment, okay?
Uh-huh.
And, like, for example, they will, you know, they always have stories with these Olympians, you know.
Right.
And Rowdy Gaines is, he's almost like he goes overboard. And how he, you know, calls it.
Right.
Like, for example, they'll say something like, the guy who's doing the play-by-play will say something like, he'll say, this reminds 1936. In 1936, Adolf Hitler was there, and Jesse Owens defied him by winning the gold, knowing that Hitler was a racist, you know. Rowdy Gaines would say, well, you know something, Jim, Rowdy Gaines here, I got to tell you, I know this might be controversial, not everyone's going to agree with me, but that Hitler was a bad guy. You know what I mean? He does this like that. He constantly reminds you of the obvious.
Yeah.
But is so afraid of offending anyone, you know. Well, when her country in Kosovo was destroyed by terrorists, and she still was able to make it, and although she doesn't win, she's able to fight back terrorism in her own way by making it to the swim. You know what I mean? It's like stories like that. And then you'll hear Rowdy Gaines go, Rowdy Gaines here. And I got to tell you something, Jim. This might not be the popular thing to say, but I'm not a fan of terrorism. it's like, well, thanks, Rowdy. We're glad you don't like freaking terrorism.
Right.
You know, but it's like that. That's what he's doing. And I was pointing it out to my daughter. And so she starts out saying, you know, how can you, Dan Hicks is the guy that's calling it. Dan Hicks, thank you. Of course everyone hates terrorism, Rowdy. You don't have to qualify by going, now this might not be the popular thing to say. No, it is the popular thing to say. The unpopular thing to say would be like, Rowdy Gaines here. And listen, sometimes the only way to prove your point is to have a little terrorism. So I got to tell you, it might not be popular to say, but these terrorists sometimes, you know, they're just trying to make their point. You know, that would be controversial, you know.
Right.
That would be controversial. What isn't controversial is going on and saying, well, Dan, let me tell you something. That Hitler was, I know this might offend some people, but that Hitler's a bad person.
Right.
And my daughter, like, started out with me saying, it, like, being annoyed by my Rowdy Gaines impersonation. By the end of the night,
yes.
By the end of the night, she picked up on it. She's like, oh, my God, he's right.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, oh, my God, he's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it might not be the popular thing to say, Dan, but I'm not a fan of doping in swimming. Oh, really? You're mm-hmm. not a fan of steroids, Rowdy. Not a fan of the steroids. Oh, my God, it was great. And then the other guy, Dan Hicks, the guy who is calling the play-by-play of the swimming, he got in trouble because two Olympics got in trouble. The swimming guy made sexist comments.
He was what?
He was making sexist comments.
Oh, great.
And that was, of course, with Rowdy Gaines. Well, it might not be popular, Dan, but I think what you said was sexist.
That's great.
So they were talking about, like, the one girl, the Katinka Hosu. I think I'm pronouncing mm-hmm. that right. Like, she, her husband, the guy with the man bun or whatever, is her coach.
Mm-hmm.
And the announcer, Dan Hicks, started saying, you know, she's raced before, but it took a man to coach her to get her to the championship. He was somehow trying to, I said, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I believe he was trying to say that it was her husband that, you know, drove her to
greatness. Do
it. But the way he worded it made it sound like it's, you know. It was when
very
she,
sexist.
Yeah, it was like, oh, once she let her man take charge, then right. she got very good, you know. Which did, I mean, it did. It came across very sexist. No,
yeah.
this girl got good. Or this woman got good because she's a freaking world class athlete,
right?
And she's at her peak right now, or she worked her ass off to get whatever. Who knows? Maybe it's, could be steroids, but whatever it is, this girl worked her ass off, and now she's getting times like she's never had before, and she's swimming great. And I don't care mm-hmm. I don't care who her coach is. You mm-hmm. know, that girl's done the work. She didn't win it because a man finally is coaching her.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of people got upset by that. You know. Rowdy Gaines, after the thing, of course, said, now, this might not be the popular opinion, but I think sexism is wrong. Sexism is not correct. It's not right, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to go on record saying I'm not a fan of terrorism or sexism or racism, for that matter. And then, meanwhile, there's another, Al Troutwig, the gymnastics announcer.
Mm-hmm.
He's also in trouble. He's in trouble because Simone Biles, the gymnastics girl, who a lot of people say, sound like Donald Trump. Many people say. No, but I mean, a lot of experts are saying that this is going to be the girl who's the one to beat for the gold medal mm-hmm. overall. And so this guy, I don't even know what he was thinking. He starts arguing somehow that this girl, all right, her parents, okay, were drug addicts. All right.
Uh-huh.
And his and the girl's drug addict parents are out of the picture. So her grandfather, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so her grandfather and grandmother adopted her, okay?
Uh-huh.
When this girl was a little girl, their mother was a drug addict. She might still be. I don't know what the mother's situation is.
Yeah.
But so the grandparents wanted to get custody of the children to get them, you know, away from this horrible mother, the drug addict and her husband, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think their father. I don't know if she was married or not, but whatever the case was. So the grandparents adopted this girl and her sister. And not long after they were born, the grandparents adopted.
Right.
And so that's who her parents are. Her grandparents, okay? But uh-huh. to her, they're just mom and dad, okay?
Right.
And so during the broadcast, this guy Al Troutwig says, and I don't even know why he said it. He goes, Simone Biles was raised by her grandfather and his wife. Of course, she calls them mom and dad. And so people on Twitter were like, hey, you know, you call this call those people her parents. They're her parents.
Right.
And so the guy replies, okay, he goes on Twitter and he decides he's going to argue with the people on Twitter. Never a good idea. So he goes
on Twitter.
So this woman goes on Twitter and says, hey, Al Trotwig, stop calling her parents her grandfather and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this woman, they're talking about the woman that raised them. This woman raised these mm-hmm. children, and she raised them as their adoptive mother. In other words, mm-hmm. the woman is their mother. And so the tweet says, Nelly, the woman's name, I can't remember her first name, but she's more important than his wife. She's their right. mother, you know? And so Al Trotwig mm-hmm. tweets back, he goes, they may be mom and dad, but they are not her parents.
Oh, good God.
And it's like, you go and you go, oh my God, what a dumbass. Why in the world would he say that?
Yeah.
Bleh. So he had to apologize.
Yeah.
End up saying,
of course.
I mean, what the hell, you know? But his apology is, oh, I should have been more clear on my on-air commentary.
I think it was pretty clear.
You don't have to be clear. There's no need to be clear. We don't need to just say they're her parents.
Yeah, they're her parents.
They adopted her. They're her parents.
And what does it matter? They're parents.
I have cousins who are adopted.
Right.
And it's even weird saying that they're adopted because, they're just my cousins. I have no, you know,
mm-hmm.
I have absolutely no idea what, who gave birth to mm-hmm. my cousin. No idea. Their mom and dad are my uncle and my aunt and uncle. I mean, that's to me, I can't even visualize that my Aunt Annette is not their mother, because I'm telling you, this woman is like a vicious bear with someone mm-hmm. trying to touch her cubs when, you know, with her kid, just like every mother. I don't differentiate adoption from,
right.
you know what I mean? As soon as mm-hmm. someone wants to, as soon as someone puts a baby up for adoption, I'm sorry, but you have decided to lose all rights to me calling that child yours.
Your job is done.
Yeah. As soon as you decide, whoosh, I'm putting the kid up for adoption, you're done. I'm sorry. You're out of the pit. When it comes to me, this might not be the popular thing to say, Nikki. Rowdy Gaines.
Right.
This might not be the most popular thing to say, but I prefer to call adoptive parents just parents. But I mean, that's how I feel, because
mm-hmm.
I'm just really that's it makes no sense for this guy to, of all the things, to pick a battle. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
take a stand on. Why in the hell would you take a stand on something so stupid?
And especially the way that they were adopted.
Yes.
Not like, you know. It was a special kind of adoption and a special kind of circumstances.
I don't see adoption. I don't see adoption as being any different from natural childbirth.
Right.
I really don't. I'm serious. If I was young enough, or if I knew I was going to live long enough, I'd love to have had another child. Really would have.
Right.
I, because I love my daughter so much, I couldn't imagine having another child, how much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's more love to give. And there's yeah. so many children out there that
mm-hmm.
have horrible lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had enough money and I was young enough to help.
Yeah.
And so I end up, you know, I, of course, could not adopt, but I, you know, would have loved to. And I would have loved this child just as I do my, you know,
you're just flesh and blood.
Just like I do, yeah, my Bella, who looks just like me. I mean, except that
She's got her mom's body. Thank God. Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine. I mean, I would not adopt a fat child.
You know, oh, God.
I wouldn't. I would want a child that is physically fit.
Poor little chubby kids yeah. everywhere.
Nope. I would not adopt a chubby. I would not adopt a chubby child. Sorry. I know it's not the popular thing to say, Nikki, but I would not adopt a chubby child.
Elitist.
And I don't think I'm the only one. I think if I was the kid in the orphanage, I don't think anybody would have adopted me. It's too fat.
Aww.
Oh, I don't want that fat one.
I would.
I don't think I'd want that fat one. No way. Oh. I'd be the kid that wasn't adopted, you know. I'm serious. That would be me. I would be the one that is not adopted. Well, that's Ray. He's 18. We're getting ready to kick him out any day now. He seems a little big for that bed. Oh yeah, well he's obese. No one adopted him. He's lived here all 18 years. Yep. Not surprising. Aww. Not surprising. His job is working in the mess hall.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'll admit I would not adopt a fat kid, sorry. But I would love the child that I adopted, you know, as much as I love my child that I fathered, you know. So, I don't understand why this guy, like, that's the stance he took. Like, I'm going to take an anti-adoption stance because I'm brave.
Right.
Let's see. What else did I want to get to? Donald Trump?
The party is falling apart.
Oh, my God. But he did give a speech last night. Here is.
And, by the way, into cities like right here in Detroit.
Yep. Donald Trump said the word titties.
And, by the way, into titties, like right here in Detroit.
Into titties. Yeah. Yeah, you could, by the way, that whole party is just imploding right now. And you could tell, did you see any of the speech? I watched it late in the night is when I finally got it, because I was watching the Olympic stuff. And all these experts are like, Donald Trump is rebooting his campaign to become more serious and act more presidential. And all I'm thinking is, didn't they say this before? Like,
mm-hmm. Like a couple times?
Yeah, like this is the third time I've heard.
Every time he flies off the handle?
Yeah, this is the third time I've heard that he is going to be more presidential. You know, I keep hearing how mm-hmm. presidential he's going to be, you know.
50 former security advisors.
Yeah, I don't.
Say he is not presidential.
No, of course he's not presidential.
And that they are scared for the country because of him.
There's nothing presidential about it. I just, you know, and I cannot see this guy, okay? I cannot see this man being president of the United States and having the temperament to be president of the United States when he gets in fights with 16-year-olds on Twitter over something that they say that he finds disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine if Obama had that temperament?
I know.
Like, oh, you people called me the N-word.
Right.
Now I'm angry and I'm going to outlaw chewing tobacco. I mean, for God's sakes, that's the kind of thing you're looking at with Trump.
Right.
Like someone dared say he wasn't a billionaire. And he got all angry and personally attacked them. By the way,
right.
All the while not proving that he is a billionaire, because I don't think he is. But
yeah.
he ends up flying off the collar at any allegation. That's not what a president does.
No.
And you didn't see Obama do that. You didn't see George W. Bush do that. You just, I mean, I might as well go through all the other presidents, because that's not how presidents react.
No.
You don't challenge someone, especially someone you don't even know. But that's what
they
Trump
support
does.
The country. They protect the country. They don't bash the people in the country.
I'll tell you the best, the best as in most effective line, that Hillary Clinton said when she was giving that speech, and she said, we can't put someone in charge of the nuclear bombs who, you know, gets,
who, and I can't remember the whole quote, but she says, someone who can't handle a tweet should not be in charge of the nuclear codes. And you know what? She's absolutely correct.
Right.
She's absolutely correct. The man does not have the Twitter.
He'd be like, give me the suitcase and the codes and I'll carry it my own damn self.
Yeah, it's like you can't. Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't need anyone else carrying that. I will carry the codes. Oh, my God. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, it is. That was, I wish I could remember the quote, but definitely remember the sentiment. Which right. was, a man, here's the quote. A man you can bait with a tweet is not a man we can trust with nuclear weapons. That's the most effective line that she's ever said.
Yep.
That's the line that's going to win the woman the election. Well, if she wins, you know.
Yeah.
The lunatics in this country, she might not. But there are, I'm telling you, that's the quote where people are going to think, you know what? Boy, I'm sick of these immigrants and I'm sick of this and I'm sick of that. But I really, boy, I'm afraid that Trump will start World War III because of a tweet.
Yeah. The tweet heard around the world.
Yeah, and that's, you know, because some 16-year-old baits him. Remember mm-hmm. when Marco Rubio made a comment about his hands? And then people started tweeting him about his hands?
Mm-hmm.
And his next, like, 10 speeches were about, I've got very big hands. I'm very good in the bedroom. You know, it's like, oh, my God. And then the next, and then he starts talking about his dick size at the next. At the next debate, and it's like, oh my God.
Right.
That's what our country has become. It's
that's disgusting.
It's crazy. It's just crazy.
It is.
And that's what we, you know. So, yeah, but anyway. He said titties.
Mm-hmm. He said titties.
Which is pretty good. So, yesterday, after they rebooted the campaign, he gave the one speech and he read it. Directly from the teleprompter. You know what I mean? Right from the telecom. Right from
glasses.
Right from the teleprompter is where he said it.
And, by the way, into cities like right here in Detroit.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Our Crystal Pepsi is back for a limited time.
Yeah.
I've never had that in my life. Never had it.
I had it before. It's gross.
But it's back for those of you that like Crystal Pepsi. And they're starting to bring back that Pepsi with real sugar or whatever. Did you see that?
I don't like that.
Like they're bringing back like the old way that sodas used to taste?
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink a lot of soda, but boy, there was a time when I was a kid that yeah. my mom would go buy like
all that stuff tasted better when we were younger.
Yeah, because they used real sugar. Everything wasn't corn syrup and artificial sugars, you know,
mm-hmm.
made from whatever coast, sucrose or glucose or,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Now they got to, because just sugar is not enough. They got to turn the sugar into some chemical, you know, to where it's worse for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know what? Sugar's not bad enough. Let's turn that into something else and make it worse. That's America,
mm-hmm.
you know. You know what? The Oreo flavoring isn't making us fat enough. Let's double up on that.
Right. I'm going to look at my stomach.
That's America. You know what? You know the problem is we just don't have enough stuffing in those Oreos. That's the problem with America.
Mm-hmm. Double it.
I'm Rowdy Gaines, and I'll tell you what. I'm a fan of the doubles. Might be controversial, but I'm a fan of the double stuff. Thank you, Rowdy. All right, I guess that would wrap up today. Oh, my goodness. Hey, thanks to Laura Richter for being on, telling us about what sounds like a good night, Witches Night Out.
Yeah, looks like a lot of fun.
Which we're going to send Nikki undercover to see what these women are up to make sure they're not having some kind of secret meeting. Send Nikki undercover to make sure it's all in the up and up. No, it sounds like a good time, and it's for a great cause, and we thank Laura for being on talking about it. Make sure you go to witchesnightout.org. Find out details. October 27th in Springfield here.
At the Expo Building.
The Expo Building. Right, we are back tomorrow, Nikki.
I know.
We are back tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. for a Wednesday show. We hope that you all tune in and join us for more fun. All right? Thank you so much for listening. So long, everybody.
It's not-